It is good to be back with you again, and as we will be over in Hebrews, and I'm one of those persons who enjoys preaching through a book, and the book of Hebrews is a challenging book that speaks to the believer. If you spend any time in it, you know that there's actually, the writer gave five warnings in there. And basically, just coming to speak tonight and to look at one small little area over in Hebrews 12, and I'm going to be reading from verse 25 down through 29, but we're going to focus in on verse 27 through 29. But as the writer writes here, and we see that the warning that he gives, and notice what he says. He says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The word "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And as we see, the writer of Hebrews, as he writes here, he gives a fifth warning, and even in the aspect of a more severe warning to those who reject God's provision of salvation through His Son. He has spoken, think about it, through the prophets of past, reminding them and helping them to understand that as He spoke in the past through the prophets, and then as Jesus came and as He walked and as He shared and as He did great mighty miracles before them, and they seen God's hand at work, and yet they crucified him, and as he was crucified on the cross, and as he arose, and as we look and we think about the apostles as they shared the truth of what they knew and what they understood, and through his word as it came forth, and yet we see that many reject him. However, we see in this passage this evening, the believer has a great hope. And looking and thinking about, he talks about how God's judgment took place in the past, and knowing and understand that there's coming a time again that there's going to be a great shaking, and not only on earth but in heaven. And we look and we think about in that shaking that takes place, and the great hope and the thankfulness we have as believers in Christ Jesus, as the writer says, that we would come with full of thanksgiving and in awe and respect to in worship. And that's what takes place within the life of the believer. When you realize what God has done for you through His Son, and as His Son was that perfect sacrifice, to know and understanding that it's not what we deserve. If we get what we deserve, it would be hell. But it is through Christ. And to know and understand, and as God stirred and convicted our hearts, and as we came to that understanding and surrendering our lives, and to think about divine judgment is going to come. It's going to touch everything, and some things will survive. The judgment of God. We look and we see that there are things that cannot be touched, and think about the saint, the believer of the gospel. To know and understand that as you trust in Christ, and as you move through life and know and understanding in your obedience to the Word and living out that truth, to know that it is through what He has done for us And we see that aspect of understanding that so often, many times in the lives of individuals, the warning comes to be able to grasp and understand that divine judgment is coming and that you shouldn't mock it. There are many around us that mock His coming again. And the Word tells us that He is coming again and not to mock Him. But within Scripture, we look and we think about all through God's Word, we see thankfulness, being thankful in our lives. And we come to this time of the year in our country as we come together as families and friends, and we come around a meal and we reflect upon God's blessings and how good we have it in this country and how God has worked all down through the years. And we see Scripture speaks of thankfulness. I've always told individuals as they look at life and as they deal with life's circumstances, many times and so often we will have the tendency of becoming negative in our thought process, and we become negative. But if you become negative, just go over the Psalms and as you see, and even David in the trials he dealt with, and he reflected upon so often the many times that the trials that were there, and even the questions, say, where's God at? But then as he walks through that process in the Psalms, you so often see that when he comes down to the very end, he says, yes, I see your presence. Yes, I see your mighty hand at work. Yes, I can trust in that which you do because I've seen you work in the past. So we look and we think about the aspect of knowing and understanding to be thankful. As a believer, we should be thankful every day. We should be thankful every moment. And I just want to touch on five ways that we can be thankful that kind of builds on, and you can take and build on that in your time as you spend time before the Lord in Bible study and as you reflect upon His goodness and His grace towards you. You begin to build and think about the many different ways that you can be thankful. The first way we can be thankful is we can be thankful that God answers our prayers. All through Scripture, we see that Isaiah 65:24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Isn't it good to know that as you would come before the Lord, that He knows your very thought. He knows and understands as you would come to Him bringing a request, as you would reflect upon His mighty working in your life and through your life, to know and understand that it is that walking in obedience to His Word in your life that as you come to Him that He does hear. And so often we think about many times the power of prayer is stifled because of sin in the lives of God's people. And to know and understand, as Isaiah wrote here, and as reflecting upon something that's going to take place in the future, and we look and we think about the new heaven and the new earth, it would be one of the greatest places. That's one thing we have to look forward as we come and into eternity. That place, as we think about that relationship with Christ, to know and understand that in our very being, as we bring petitions to Him, as we bring praises to Him, that He hears and He responds to us. Notice as John 11, verses 41 and 42 reflects upon Jesus as He speaks here. He says, "So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.'" Here again, we see that aspect to know and understand the Father hears us, even in the times of trials that we go through, in the times of sorrow, as we deal with those particular times in our life, and even as Jesus prayed here, to know and understand as a believer and a follower of Christ that God hears us in our sorrow, in our grieving, in our life. That as we have that relationship with Him, that we can know and understand that He hears our prayers. We need to be thankful to know that He is always there, any moment, any hour, any time, any place, as we would come to Him. Secondly, we can be thankful for God's provision for our needs. And we will reflect upon that, especially tomorrow as we gather with family and friends, and even maybe as you would gather and maybe serve a meal in the community, coming together, reflecting upon the provisions that are there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18 says, "Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This aspect of pray continually, and someone had asked me one time, says, "Well, how can you just keep on continually praying and in the busyness of life? How do you do that?" Well, it's the understanding and the attitude of prayer in the life of the believer. You know, we have the opportunity to come to before our Lord at any time and any moment. You know, it doesn't have to be just over here for a special time, which we do, but it can be at the snap of a moment as you're communicating with someone, and in that communication there's a need, and you may ask that individual, "Can we just take a moment and pray? Can I pray for you in that need that you have?" It is this attitude of knowing and understanding that to be able to have that consistency of praying and giving thanks. And so often we think about, here Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. We don't like to hear that word, all circumstances. And yet we're told to, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And as we walk in that relationship, you know, there's not a circumstance that is not in our life that God doesn't know about. As we're going through it, we may say, "I don't understand this circumstance I'm going through, but I'm going to give you thanks. I don't understand now." But so often when we look back, as we've went through that circumstance, we look and we say, "I can see where you carried me through that. I can see how you took and you matured my faith." You see, if our faith is never tested and if we never walk through the circumstances, how would our faith ever grow? If it's all just rosy and peachy as we go through life. You see, we never really mature until as we go through those circumstances, but we can know and understand that He is always with us as we walk through those circumstances. To think and know and understand as we begin praying about a need, and in that prayer we're fellowshipping with the Lord, and we see and we begin to have that close communion with Him. And we look and we see that as we're praying with Him, and that He begins to strengthen us in our walk and our knowledge and our understanding, because as we're in His Word, we begin to see what He has for us in this walk. We begin to see it causes us to learn and understand more about His very character. It stirs us to have that desire to worship Him in our private time, and to come together with His people to worship Him, for He's worthy of all our worship and praise. It stirs us and causes us to be of service and seeking as He ministers in us and through us, even in the circumstances that we're walking in. Notice 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Here again, as Paul writes to Timothy in the aspect as moving through life, that as God has created everything and as it has been prayed for and created, and we look and we see God meeting needs in the lives of individuals, His provision for our very need. Thirdly, we can be thankful for God's blessings. And so often we look and we think about many blessings that God has placed in our lives, and we think about His mercy, His grace that has impacted our lives, and we begin to look and think about we have very little merit at all when we compare to our sinfulness, our darkness in our life, to know and understand a loving, holy God called out, reached down, and picked us up as we responded to the gospel message. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. To know and understand that His love, that it endures forever. To know, and we give thanks to Him because the Lord is good. And we say, when somebody says, the Lord is good, and we say all the time, and He truly is. He is good to us all the time in our lives, even as we would sin against Him. And over in 1 John, it speaks that as we will come and confess our sin, He is faithful and just in forgiving us. It is in those times that when we recognize that we have sinned against Him, and we come in brokenness, and as we come in that brokenness, and we begin to grow and mature, because as He shows us where we're lacking and we surrender our life, that part of our life over to Him, He takes and begins to work on that, growing us, to mature us, to be all that He would have us to be. Paul writes in Philippians 4:6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We look and we think about this aspect of not to be anxious about anything. Every one of us deal with some type of anxiety within our life. As we deal with life, there are going to be those anxious moments, because we're human, aren't we? And yet we know that as we understand God's Word, as we would come to Him, in all that's in our life, by prayer and petition, bringing those needs before Him, knowing and understanding that He desires to meet the very need in our life. And so often as He meets that need in our life, many times we don't see it coming when we think it should be. And yet He's working in our life and through our life as we bring that aspect of our life in prayer and petition. Petitioning Him many times means to petition Him to, and it's not so much to see something completely done, but many times He uses individuals in our life, people that cross our paths, a fellow believer in our life many times may be able to give us some wisdom, some understanding, or even turn us to God's Word to help us grasp and understand as He is working in our very being. As we come, and many times in those petitioning, and He says, with thanksgiving. As we lift that need, and many times we lift a need and we fail to thank Him, and often we need to thank Him before He even meets the need, because we know that He hears and He's going to respond in one way or another within our very life as we present our request to Him. The fourth way that we can be thankful for God's character and wondrous works. As we look and we think about God's moving and working, and we think about in prayer, in the recognition of God's love and goodness, they're powerful, and together they're a most effective means in maturing us. Notice the psalmist says in Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. We look and we think about God's righteousness. It is because of His righteousness that was poured out on Calvary's cross for us, that helps us grasp and understand our inefficiencies in our very being and trusting in Him working in us and through us. You see, His very character, He desires that we would grow in that. In ourselves, we're not righteous, are we? We're not righteous. But it is in His very working in our lives that will reflect through us that there's something different in your life. Individuals will around you, just your witness of that new walk, that new relationship that took place in your life. And as you're moving through life, His very character that is growing and maturing in our very lives will be seen by others, which opens our opportunity to share our faith with those who ask. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. To look and think about His indescribable gift. Jesus Christ, His very Son, came and gave His life on Calvary's cross for you and me, for those around us. And to know that and the grasp, the understanding of that, of knowing that Christ died for our sins, to know that He bore our sins, and then as we come to know that and understand that and come to walk in that relationship, surrendering our lives to Him, it's overpowering, mind-boggling to us, that He will take and He will transform our very lives. Revelation 11:17 says, saying, we give thanks to You, Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was, because You have taken Your great power and have begun to reign. We look and we reflect upon His character, knowing and understanding that as He reigns, as we look toward that day when we will be in His presence, but we can know and understand that He reigns within our very lives today as we walk in that relationship with Him. To know and understand that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct our lives as we allow the power of His Word to be instilled in our very being. That as we strive to live out that Word in truth, that He will work in us and through us. It's kind of like the little picture that you see so often in a doctor's office, or you may even have seen one in a nursery and in the church nursery, a picture of a little child up there and as there may not be all grown up and matured yet, says, you know, God's not finished with me yet. And you know, that's what's taking place in our lives today. God's not finished with us yet, as we'll just trust Him and allow Him to build and to work on our very character and our very being, that He grows and matures us to be that individual that He desires that we would be, that we would walk in a new way, a fresh way in our life, that a way that would bring glory and honor to Him. It kind of reminds me of when I grew up as a child, and it was always a known thing in my family that when you went downtown, you acted right because it was going to get back home if you acted up. You know, so when you went to town with your friends, you wanted to behave yourself because everybody knew the Allens. And so, you know, that character reference. And we have to remember and understand, who are we representing in this being? You know, do we want to be a bad example for Christ? And so often, you may hear people say, well, I don't want to associate with them hypocrites down there. I always tell them there's always room for one more. You know, we look and we think about our reflection. You know, is it going to be a good reflection that would draw someone to Christ? Or would it be a reflection that says, I don't want anything to do with that? You know, as we look and we think about His character and His wondrous works and what He does. And when I think about His wondrous works, I just look back and think about where I was and how I was and begin seeing how He began to work in my life and how He's changed that. I can do only one thing, but just give Him the praise for it, because it is His working in us that will work through us, that will touch lives around us. And the fifth aspect here we see that we can be thankful for is our brothers and sisters in Christ. Each one of these have built onto this. And so often we fail to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to know and understand that we're a part of the body of Christ. Each and every one of us that walk in that relationship, that God works mightily. And so often, you know, we'll pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ as they're dealing with a circumstance or a need in their life, but we fail to give thanks for them even in the good times, the times of encouraging words. Someone may have came and helped you do something, or they have made a reflection into your life that helped you to grow as a follower of Christ. And so often we fail to thank them for those encouraging words. We fail to pray for them in the good times, of praying for them as they serve, as they minister in a particular area of the body of Christ. And so we begin to see that, to know and understand the importance of each one of us as a part of the body. As Paul writes over in 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. To know and understand that God has touched the lives of these over in Corinth, this body of believers, to see them maturing. And here Paul just thanks God for what He has done in them, and he reminds them that he's praying for them, and he just giving praise for the way that they've responded to the gospel message. Ephesians 1:16, Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you all in my prayers. Here again, this aspect of praying over individuals, not only just for the needs in their lives, but praying prayers that God would continue to grow, mature, and to use them mightily in ministry. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. To know and understand that the need of praying and thinking about those as we're a part of the body of Christ, this body of Glencoe, this body of believers, as you minister, as you serve, as you communicate with one another, as you begin to see individuals growing, and as you begin to touch lives and touch those who are lost, and as you begin to disciple them, praying that and thanking God for what He is doing in each and every one. You know, everyone in the body of Christ is an important part of that body. Every aspect of this body is important. And you just didn't happen here by accident. God has placed you in an area of ministry, whatever area that is. It may be doing yard work. That may be one of the areas of service that you can do. It may be teaching. It may be praying. It may be an area of service. It may be a simple little area of taking someone to appointments that they need with a physician. Every area God has placed you, and He desires to use you mightily in those areas. We need to pray for one another, encourage, thank one another. This Thanksgiving season, may we reflect on God's mighty working and blessing that He has done and desires to do in our very lives, each one of us, for His glory, and that many would respond to the gospel message because He desires to reach and touch lives through you and I. You know, it's always been said, many people will never see the reflection of Jesus Christ except through you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You again for this body of believers. I thank You for Your working in and through each one. Lord, I pray that You would just continue to grow and mature each life. I pray that this place would be a lighthouse that shines out as a lighthouse shining into the darkness, leading lost ones to You. And then, Father, also that it would be a greenhouse that would nurture and to encourage and to flourish followers of Christ. Help to grow them and to mature them to be leaders, to take and grow young families, to be strong in the Word. And Father, to see Your Holy Spirit just move fresh in the lives of Your people in a very real way. That we would be open to Your growing our character, our very being, and that as people would come in the doors of this place, they would sense Your Holy Spirit, and that You would draw them to You, that this place would grow and flourish and be known to those around that Your Word is taught and lived out. I just pray that You would be with those as they travel this Thanksgiving season. Give them safety in travel. That You would carry us to our respective homes, and that You'd give us a good night's rest and guide us through the rest of this week. And as we come together again to worship, that You would bring us expecting to be in Your presence. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.